for the cross. Man, what a wonderful, powerful song. It's time we release our children and volunteers at Children's Church. I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. Those of us that are left, if you'll take your Bibles and find the book of Ephesians, we're picking back up with our series on values that produce. We have kind of settled in on three core values, things that must be appearing, things that we must cultivate in our life as a disciple and in the lives of those we are trying to disciple. First of all, we looked at the core value of submission, and we spent some time about that we are to live lives of submission. We are to submit to the Lord, submit to the governing authorities that He's placed on the earth, and we are to submit to His will for our lives. And then we're looking at connecting. The Bible all throughout talks about how we are to be connecting and how we are connected to Christ and to one another. And so last we were together 2 weeks ago, we looked at being connected to Christ. That in John chapter 15, Jesus talking to His disciples as they were getting ready for the crucifixion, He was trying to prepare them for life after His presence here on earth. And if they were going to accomplish what He wanted them to accomplish, what He came to save them to accomplish, then they had to stay connected to the true vine. He said, I am the true vine and you are the branches. The one who abides in me bears much fruit. Well, not only do we, as He said, that we need to be connected to Him, but in our connection with Him, we need to be connected to one another. See, the truth about our life as disciples, the truth about our salvation, the truth about our relationship with God is that we were never intended to do this life alone. We were never intended to walk out our faith in isolation. And that's where the devil has planted in the minds of many believers that I don't need the church. I don't need other Christians. Man, I can worship God wherever I am. I can accomplish what He wants me to accomplish right by myself. And because it's easier to do life outside of relationship, relationship's hard, isn't it? Relationship with friends, relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, it's a struggle. Relationship with your parents is hard. Relationship with your spouse is hard. Relationship with your brothers and sisters are difficult. Why? We're all sinners. We struggle with relationship, but we were created for relationship. We were created for connection. And all throughout Scripture, Jesus reminds and Paul reminds and even the Old Testament, God reminds that we are in this together. We are called for community. And if you look at Acts chapters 2 through 4, you see how community is lived out and what it means, that word koinonia. The fellowship. Baptists, we think of fellowship. We're going to have a fellowship. What do we think? Food. You know, we associate food. Well, why is food such an important part of fellowship? Because you get to know each other over a meal. You sit down and you eat, you talk, you discuss things. You spend time together. And so we've kind of associated food with that, but it's a part of community. Community is connection with one another, doing life together. And we are saved, and Jesus said, in this life you're going to have troubles. And He said, to follow me is going to be difficult, to be my disciple is going to be difficult. And He says, you are saved and you are created in Christ Jesus for connection with the body, with other believers. And Satan has torn down a lot of believers because he has isolated them from other believers. One of the biggest ways to destroy a person is to isolate them, to take them away from fellowship and relationship. And the devil is very good at that. And so he'll let things that are said that hurt our feelings, or things that are done that we don't agree with, or our preferences aren't being met, or we don't feel like we're being served, and we get a wrong idea of what it means to be a part of the body. It becomes all about us. And so it's easier just to retreat away from the body than to work through the difficulties of relationship, even in church. And we become isolated and we become useless to the kingdom. I've known a lot of people that have drawn away from the church, aren't involved in the body of Christ in anywhere. They may truly be saved, but they're not doing anything. I've not met one yet that's not associated with a Bible believing teaching community of believers that is actually doing anything for the kingdom of God. They're saved, and they may truly be saved, but they're not accomplishing what God saved them to accomplish. They're just existing. They're just going through life and looking more like the world than like Jesus. We are created. We are saved for community. And in this, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this, but I want us to settle in on Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at what it means and why we need to cultivate these connections in the body of Christ. And what it means and what it looks like and how it is intended to be. So in Ephesians chapter 4, if you would stand with me, we're going to begin reading in verse 14, but we're going to focus on verses 15 and 16. Now remember, the context in this passage is Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, look, God has given some as apostles and preachers and teachers, and some as evangelists and some as pastors and prophets. So he's talking about the leadership. The leadership is given to the church so that we can do something, so that we can all grow to maturity. And verse 14 says, as a result of this community that God has established, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in the deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Let's pray. Lord God, we are here because we want to see your name glorified. God, we want to grow in Christ's likeness. We want to accomplish those things that you died for us to accomplish. God, we understand that you died for more than just us to get to heaven. That you died so that we would be a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So that we could be put together in your body and put to work and growing in usefulness, growing in our understanding, growing in our Christ-likeness, and then accomplishing this great task of taking the gospel around the world, taking the gospel to our neighbors, living radically different so that others will be drawn to you by our witness, by our love, by our kindness towards them, by our radical difference in this world. And so, God, today I pray that you'd help us understand that this connection, this community, this body of believers is important not only to our growth personally, not only to our growth corporately, but, God, to accomplishing this great God-sized task of reaching the world with the gospel. And so, God, I pray that today, Lord, we would be reminded, and we would be recommitted to this body of believers, this connection, and we would cultivate them. And we would grow, and we would accomplish all that you've set for us to accomplish. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So in this passage, again, Paul is talking about the church, and he's reminding the Ephesians that church is not a place that we go. This building is not the church. Oak Grove Baptist Church is not the church. You and I are the church. Man, the more I've gone to Africa, the more I've gone to third world countries, the more I understand it's got nothing to do with where we meet that determines whether it's church or not. Now, I understand over the years, and we do, we need to respect what God has given and take care of the facilities that He's allowed us to have, but understand that this is not the sanctuary. This is a building where the people of God, where the body of God meets. You and I are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. You and I, if we met outside under an oak tree, closer to Oak Grove Baptist Church than where we are. But if we met under an oak tree, the church is meeting. This building is ill. It has nothing to do with who we are. It's simply a place, it's a tool, it's a facility that we meet in, the church meets in. And so Paul is reminding this church that you are saved and God has a purpose for you. God has something for you to accomplish. God has a desire for you, and that you need each other. We are saved for connection. We're saved for community. There's a couple of different things that the Bible uses, that Paul and other writers in the Scripture use, and Jesus talks about that we are, he uses some different metaphors to describe the church. One is the bride of Christ. We are in a close, personal, intimate relationship with Christ. We are one with Him, just like we're one with our spouse. The second metaphor that he uses is a building. That we're living stones, and he's building his building. He's building his church with living stones. We are, and if there are stones that are missing in a building, what happens to the building? It eventually collapses. It's not functional. It's structurally unsound. Same thing, he describes us as a family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And when the family is struggling, when one is missing, when the family is trying to accomplish something and everybody's not pulling their weight and not doing their part, the family struggles. It's dysfunctional. He describes us as his body. And that's where he's at today. He talks about the body of Christ. We are members of the body of Christ. There's one body, one head, Jesus Christ. And we're all members of that one body. And just like in your own body, when one part of your body's not functioning well, your whole body suffers. Amen, Scott? You know, his right foot isn't functioning well. And because his right foot isn't functioning well, his whole body's struggling. Now he's in a wheelchair right now until he gets well. It's a struggle to do what you need to do when one part's not functioning. Just a very small part. Doesn't even have to be the whole foot. How many of you ever stumped your toe? Man, you slam your toe up against something. It's just a toe. But man, every time you step, you know, you're hurting and it slows you down. You can't accomplish, you can't focus on what you need to focus on, because every time you step, it just throbs and it hurts. Jesus used, or the Holy Spirit led these men to write and use these metaphors because they are very accurately describe the body of Christ. Each one of us are members of that body. Each one of us have a role to play. Each one of us are important. And he says, when one's hurting, the whole body's hurting. When one celebrates, the whole body celebrates. That is an intimate, strong connection that we're supposed to have. But there's also a truth that connection is hard to maintain. Why? Because we're all sinners. We're all put into this body. We're all brought into this body with each one having the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, but each one struggling with our selfishness, each one struggling with our own preferences, each one struggling with becoming who God wants us to be. We're all on a journey of becoming. And the purpose of the church and the way we maintain and strengthen those connections is that we help carry the load at times. We help to encourage. We help to speak truth into each other's lives. We celebrate when things are going good. We're there to encourage and to help and to weep with them when things are going bad. We're there to provide when they can't provide for themselves. We're there to encourage when they're depressed or down. We are to be closely woven together. And one of the things that's necessary for that is, one of the most important things is forgiveness. Because when sinners are in close proximity, sinners are going to hurt each other's feelings. Sinners are going to do things they wish they hadn't have done. They're going to say things out of their own selfishness that they shouldn't have said. And sometimes we're just going to hear things that weren't said, and we're going to hear it like we thought they said it, and we're going to get our feelings hurt. And so forgiveness is one of the greatest tools of this connection. But it's also one of the things that causes the most dysfunction in the family when there is unforgiveness. How many people do you know 20, 25 years ago. They got sideways with somebody in the church. And they walked away and they've never been back. They're not accomplishing what God wants them to accomplish. They're not helping the church. They're not being part of the body. They've withdrawn and said, well, they don't need me. They hurt my feelings. So I'm going to pull out. I'm going to draw back. I'm going to go over here by myself. And I'm just going to be me and Jesus. God didn't intend it that way. And if you look at their life, there's no fruit. There's no fruit being produced. Because not only do we need to be connected to the vine, but we need to be connected to the body. A great illustration of that is when you have known folks, maybe you haven't, but I have, that have in a carpentry accident or some other accident have lost a finger. It's been cut off. Well, does that finger go off over here by itself and just do just fine on its own? No. It begins to wither, it begins to rot, it begins to look nothing like a finger, it begins to just decay. Spiritually, that's what happens when we separate ourselves from the body of Christ. We begin to wither, we begin to decay, we begin to look nothing like the body of Christ. We begin to rot spiritually and in the usefulness of the kingdom. So Paul is encouraging this church. He says, when we're brought together and the leadership leads us into righteousness and we're equipped for all the work of service and all of us are growing in our discipleship and growing in maturity, the result of it is, first of all, and the reason we need the church and we need this connection with one another is we're no longer tossed by winds of doctrine. We're no longer led astray. One of the key reasons the devil wants to isolate Christians as he can fool them into believing what's not true. When we get away from the truth of God's Word, when we get away from that connection with the body, when we get away from meeting together with our brothers and sisters and growing in Christ and hearing the Word preached and discussing the Word in small groups, in Sunday school or training, when we get away from that, we begin to believe half-truths and we begin to believe things that sound good but aren't sound doctrinally. That's why one of the greatest migrations from one religion to another, from one religion to Mormonism, the greatest group, the greatest number of people that apostatize is Southern Baptists. Because they've drawn away from the church. They've drawn away from studying God's Word together and discussing God's Word together. And they begin to believe the lies of Satan. And they're drawn away into another faith and leaving the truth of the gospel. That's the first danger. And Paul says, as a result of growing together in Christ, as a result of being a part of the body, an active member in the body of Christ, functioning as God intended you to function and using your gifts to serve and to be involved in the kingdom work, it protects us from false doctrines. It builds a hedge around our heart. We see the truth. We hear the truth. We handle the truth enough that we easily spot a lie. So we're not carried away as children by the false winds of doctrine and the trickery of men. But also, it helps us to grow up in all aspects into Him who is Christ. But speaking the truth in love. See, when we're together as the body of Christ, when we're gathering together to learn and to study God's Word, we speak the truth to one another. Sometimes it's encouraging truth. Sometimes it's doctrinal truth. Sometimes it's theological truth. But sometimes it's admonitional truth. Hey, brother, you know, this is kind of what I see going on. Are you staying in the Word? Is there something that I can pray with you about? Sometimes it's admonition. Sometimes it's correction. And we're talking about Scripture and we're discussing the Word of God and somebody comes up with something that's kind of off and a little bit off kilter, not exactly plumb with the Word of God, you can begin to correct them. You can begin to say, well, this, you know, let's look at another part of the Bible. Instead of just taking that one verse, let's look at the context of that. And let's look at the context in the book. Let's look at the context in the Testament. Let's look at the context in the whole Bible. Let's see if we can get a better understanding of what that one verse says. So sometimes it's correcting a misunderstanding of Scripture. See, all of those things happen collectively as we discuss God's Word and we read God's Word together and we apply God's Word together and we study God's Word together. See, I want you to understand that this right here, this corporate, this coming together of the entire body, is not the fulfillment of connection. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like big churches because I just don't know everybody. Well, I can guarantee you, nobody in here knows everybody that's in here now. Connections don't happen in big groups. Connections don't happen when you're sitting out there listening as I try and divide the Word of God and share the truth of the Word of God, and there's no interaction between us. But when we get into small groups, and when you get into that Sunday school class, I don't know about anybody else's, but man, you get in Mr. Bobby's Sunday school class, there's some stuff going to be talked about. Scripture is going to be conversed over. It's going to be, well, what if? Well, how about? And it's going to be talked about. And it's going to be applied, and it's going to be tried to understood. And I'm fairly certain, I'm very sure that that's what happens in all of our Sunday school classes. But it's also that connection that happens individually, and connection happens in small group. Connection doesn't happen here. If you're not involved in a Sunday school class, you're not connected. You're a member of this church. You're coming here and you're listening to the Word of God, but you're not growing in the Word of God because you're not connected with other believers like God intended us to be. It happens in small groups. Also, pastoral care happens in small groups. See, it's not so much that I go see you when you're in the hospital. I try. You know, if there's major things going on, I love to be there. I want to be there for you. But pastoral care happens in small groups. It's through your Sunday school class that people are going to bring you meals when you're sick. It's in your Sunday school class that people are going to pray for you and pray over you. It's in your Sunday school class where people are going to celebrate the newness of life and the birth of a child. It's in your Sunday school classes where those connections and that growing together is going to happen. If you're not involved in a Sunday school class, if you're not involved in a small discipleship group, if you're not involved with others gathering together around the Word of God, living life together, you're not connected with the body like God intends you to be. Just showing up here on Sunday morning, you're connected with the doctrine of the church, you're connected with the name of the church, but you're not connected personally with the church. And if you look at Acts chapter 2 through 4, you see a personal connection between believers. You see a personal connection that enables them to encourage one another, to weep with one another, to celebrate with one another, to admonish and correct one another. All of that happens in small group. Discipleship happens in one-on-one, one-on-two or three, 8 or 10 people gathering together and discussing, applying, and walking through God's Word together. That's where true growth and connection happens. So if you're not connected in that way, you're not growing. And when you're not growing, guess what? You're that stumped big toe for the church. See, we can't accomplish what God died for us to accomplish. We can't do what God wants us to do, this monumental task, if everyone is not growing in their walk with the Lord. If everyone is not connected together and encouraging one another and putting their talents and their gifts to work for the kingdom, if everybody's not involved, then we're accomplishing some stuff, but not nearly what God wants us to accomplish. So we've got this crazy idea, and we've believed it, that I don't need to go to church. I don't need the church. Or even worse, the church doesn't need me. You have been saved for a purpose. You've been given the gifts by the Holy Spirit to put into work in the kingdom of God through the local church. And just coming and sitting on a pew on Sunday morning is not what Jesus died for you to do. Jesus died for so much more. And you can experience the glory of being used by God. You can experience the glory of transformation of God. You can experience the glory of God making a difference in this world through you and through us. But only when we're connected, only when we're committed to that connection and being involved. He continues on, we speak the truth in love, and we are growing up in all aspects. And our growing up is to, like him, talking about Jesus Christ. Not like your preacher. You don't need to be like me. You don't need to be like some of these other great Christian men and women, godly men and women in here. Yeah, they're a short-term goal. Yeah, I want to be like them one day, but ultimately we want to be like Christ. Because that's where they want to be. But we're to grow up in the likeness of Christ, who gave himself up for the church, who died for the church, who set aside what he wanted and pursued what God wanted. Not your will, but my will, but your will be done. He humbled himself and became a servant. That's what we're growing into the likeness of. Then in verse 16, again talking about Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. See, when you were saved, God brought you to this place. God didn't just call me to Oak Grove Baptist Church to be a part of this congregation, a part of this body here. He's brought you here to be a part of it. Fitted together. All these different shaped pieces, all these various backgrounds, and all these different histories, all these different desires and attitudes, all being put together, like we talked about before, the unity in diversity. Only God could do that. But he's placed you here strategically. You are, as he puts it, he uses some very, very direct and very descriptive words. He says, fitted and held together. You are put here to fit here. You are put here to be connected here. You are put here to be involved here, not just to show up. But where every joint is supplied, God is the one that is the glue that holds us together. God is the ligament that holds the arm and the hand and the elbow, and he's the one that brings us together according to the proper working of each individual part. See, when you don't do your part, then you hamstring the body. When you don't get involved, when you're not connected, when you're not contributing, you're reducing the usefulness of this body. So you're needed. You may think, well, I don't have any great gifts or I don't have any good talents. Man, I can't speak. I can't play an instrument. I can't sing. I can't teach a Sunday school class. But man, you've got some background. You've got some experiences that God has brought you through, that when you're connected into a small group, you can bring that experience to that small group and say, hey, this is what happened to me. This is what I've experienced. This is what God has done. And you can be an encourager. You can be one who helps others to apply. Maybe God has helped you see the big picture or be able to figure out the details. Maybe God's given you a gift of administration, man, and you can help lead one of the programs that we've got. I don't know. But God has gifted you something. If you're saved and you got the Holy Spirit, God saved you for a purpose. God saved you and gifted you so you could get plugged in and accomplish a job that nobody else can accomplish. Amen. God has called me and he's gifted me in some things, but there is so much more to be done than I can do on my own. There's so much more that can be done than me and the deacons can do on our own. There's so much more than can be done than me and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers can do on our own. There's so much more to be done than me and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and the program leaders, our children's director, our children's church ministers. There's so much more to be done than we can do. It takes all of us. As Paul said in another place, you can't say, well, since I'm not an eye, I'm not important. Since I'm not an ear, I'm not important. I'm just a foot. Well, how important is a foot? And God has gifted you. God's brought you here. Don't waste that. And don't hamstring us. Because we want to see this community transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to see this world transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a great commission. Go make disciples of all the nations. That's not just for the Southern Baptist Convention. That's for Oak Grove Baptist Church. We can't do it without everybody doing their part. We can't do it with semi-connected folks. We can't do it by people who've had their names on the church roll for 20 years and hadn't shown up. We need everybody involved. We're created for connection, connection with one another. And look what happens. When we're all working together and each individual part is doing what they're created, what they're saved, what they're gifted to do, look what happens. It causes the growth of the body. See, when people see us excited about what God's doing, when people hear us talking about how great it is to be in the fellowship of Oak Grove Baptist Church, how we love one another, how we're helping, when they see us helping each other, when they see us encouraging one another, when they see the love and experience the love that we have for one another, when they see that, people want to be a part of it. You know, the greatest thing you can do to encourage people to come to church is not just go say, hey, we want you to come to church next Sunday. You need to be enthused about what God's doing here. If you're not excited about what God's doing, if you're not excited about Oak Grove Baptist Church and the work that's going on, if you're not excited about a trashy prayer walk this afternoon, why do you think anybody else is going to want to come? Why do you think anybody else is going to get excited about what's going on here? If you're not talking it up, if you're not sharing your excitement, and if you're not excited about what we're doing, then hey, come up with some ideas that'll excite you and we'll try and do them. But the worst thing we can do is just kind of be ho-hum about church in our community. If you can't get excited about what's going on here, we either need to step up the game, get to doing more stuff, or we need to check and see what really excites us. So we're here for connection. We're here to celebrate. We're here to worship. We're here to serve. We're here to be about kingdom stuff. And all of us, it takes everyone. And I can't cultivate your connection. I've heard so many times people come and say, well, you know, I just don't feel a part, you know, so I'm going to go find, well, what have you done to feel a part? What small group are you involved in? What ministry are you involved in? Well, you know, they just hadn't asked me. Well, ask them. Hey, can I do this? Can I come to this? Can get involved. One of the greatest things you can do is show up this afternoon. Connection is not just coming and sitting and talking about the Word of God. It's we need to be connected as we get out into the community and do stuff. If you're not involved in the work of the church, it's hard to be excited about what's going on. Yeah, it takes time. It takes effort. But what are we supposed to be focused on? Kingdom things. Eternal things. So if you don't feel connected, hey, we want you to be connected. We've opened up invitations. We announce what we're doing. But if you don't show up, you can't be connected. And there's nothing we can do about that. So it's up to you to build and foster that connection and grow it up. But when we get involved, when we're connected, when we're doing life together, when we're studying the Word of God together, when we're serving in the community together, look at that last thing. Building up of itself in love. See, connection is fostered and love is developed when you spend time together. When you work together, when you pray together, when you cry together, when you celebrate together, when you do life together, when you help each other when they're down, when you're involved, that's where love is cultivated. Not sitting in here on a Sunday morning. Not just showing up every once in a while. Love is translated time. Time. So if you want to feel connected, find you a small group. You know some folks in here that's in a small group. You've got some friends that are involved in Sunday school or discipleship. Or you we've got a group of men that meet on Thursday morning at 6 o'clock. We'd love for you to be there. We'd love for you to be here on Sunday morning. You can still sleep 2 hours later on Sunday morning and get here at 10 o'clock. If you're not connected, it's because you don't want to be connected. And if you don't want to be connected, then we're not going to accomplish what Jesus died for us to accomplish. Church, those of us that are in small groups, those of us that are here and we are connected and we're involved, we need to be talking up what God's doing. We need to be encouraging others. We need to be loving on each other. We need to be celebrating what God's doing. We need to be excited about what God's doing. You can't go, well, you know, you need to come to Sunday school and think they're going to come. You can't get fired up about what you're talking about in Sunday school. We need to figure out something else to talk about. Be the advocate for what God's doing. Be excited. Be passionate. Then that passion becomes contagious. Be open to those that come. We need to be a place where that anybody shows up is welcome. Anybody that shows up is welcome. And we let them know they're welcome. We go out of our way to thank them for being here. We need to be out of our way to try and make connection. It's not up to a visitor or a guest to come and try and make connection with us. We've got to initiate that. We've got to go to them. We've got to encourage them. But when we do, when we foster this connection, and we put a priority on our connection with the body of Christ and our role and our purpose and our gifting and serving in the body, doctrinally, we'll be sound. More people will want to be here. And the love of Christ will overflow from this place. Everybody will see it. Everybody will know it. Everybody will experience it. But it comes when we become the body and focus on our connection. You're here and you've never accepted Christ. The only way you can be connected to the church, the only way you can experience what we've been talking about is by first submitting, getting connected to Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot be a part of the body without being born again. I want to invite you, submit your heart to Jesus. He died so that you may have life and have it to the full. Church, we can't experience the full life until we are committed to Him, committed to each other, connected to what God has for us to do. Let's make that a priority. All right? Let's stand.